I've got a bag, and look what I've got inside.
Apple.
And in this bag, I've got an apple that's cut up into slices. Now, this apple is a gala apple. There's different varieties. And this one is a Honeycrisp. So there's a lot of different kinds of apples around. There's delicious apples and Jonathan apples and all kinds that you can buy at the grocery store. And do you know where apples come from? Trees, right? Do you know that in my backyard, I have apple trees? I have 8 apple trees. Yes, I've got 8 apple trees. Some Honeycrisp and some Jonathan, some different varieties. And this is an exciting time for me because spring is here, and now I go outside and the trees are beginning to bud. And then I take a look for leaves. And then I take a look for flowers, because you know what that means? Apples. And some years, especially on my younger trees, I don't get any flowers or not too many. And other years, I get a whole bunch in which the tree is just full of apples. It's a lot of work to get them down to pick them, and we make apple sauce, and we love apples at our house. But that reminds me of a story that Jesus once told. And he told stories in parables. And the parable is of a man who had a fig tree. And his fig tree, year after year, did not produce any figs. And he said to his gardener, "Cut that tree down. I don't want that tree anymore. It's not giving me any figs." And the gardener says, wait. One more year. Let's give it another chance in order to have it get figs. And I'll take care of it, and I'll give it a lot of fertilizer and water and take care of it, and let's see if it gets figs for next year. All right? You know what Jesus was talking about in that parable? He was talking about us, people. God plants us on this earth. He puts us on this earth. And he wants us to have the fruit of the vine. He wants us to be that fruit. He wants us to grow that fruit. Now, he's not talking about like apples and stuff. What he's talking about, the fruit is as people, when he puts us on earth, he's wanting us to be good. He wants us to follow his word, to go to church, to go to Sunday school, and to be a good person, to be a giving person, to be a forgiving person. And sometimes we are like that, but sometimes we're like those fruit trees and we don't produce a lot of fruit. We're not always very good, but you know what? God gives us another chance. He forgives us, and he gives us another chance, just like those trees each year. We give them another chance to come back and provide fruit. So as we go through our lives, we want to try and be the best as we can and produce as much fruit by being a good person and kind to others. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we know that you expect good things from your children. Help us live a life that will be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, before you go, you know why we cut these up? So we can share these.
The gospel reading today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, and my fat calves, and have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops he sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, "The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet." Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen."
This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us say, thanks be to God. You may be seated. Thank you, Bob. Will you join me in our prayer for God to open our hearts to the scripture this year? "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Amen. It's so great to be here with you today, especially after this long week of funerals. And I just want to say again, thank you to all of you for your ministry this week and for dropping what you're doing to love and to comfort those in need and to be the church, the body of Jesus Christ. The local church is the hope of our world, and that is where disciple making is to take place, in the context of our relationships with one another and with our neighbors. Relationships that are characterized by a constant sense of hope and patience and invitation. Invitation. And this is today's message. "For many are called, but few are chosen." Let's say that together. "For many are called, but few are chosen." Many are called, few are chosen. The grace of God is free for all and free in all. But you have to receive the grace of God. It has to be received like a gift. It's free, but you have to receive it. You have to appreciate it. You have to act upon it. You have to put the love of God into action in your life. You have to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Not just say that you believe he died on the cross and was raised from the dead, but you have to live your life in that truth. You have to appreciate the love that God has shown you. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? That proves God's love for us. His love for us as individuals and his love for the world. His love that he sent Jesus to die for us and be raised for us so that when we believe in him, we would not perish, but we would have eternal life. Because he did not come to this world to condemn the world, no, but to save the world. However, he is still returning to come and judge this world, as he warns us in this parable. And this parable is a tricky story to unpack. And I wish I would have had more time this week to dig deeper than I did. But I know that I was at the end of myself, and I was dependent on the church, who, when my arms were tired, I know through your prayers and your ministry, my arms were being raised to continue to intercede for us and for our community. But I believe that God is going to speak to us just through these words that we just heard. Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. And he sent his slaves or his servants to call those who had been invited. So these are the people who already heard about it in advance. Maybe they got sent an RSVP card, so to speak. And so they were expected. These were the guests of honor. These were the people that were at the top. You know, how many of you have planned a wedding, right? You've got so many seats, you got so much money, and you've got a guest list, right? There are people who are invited, and then there's people who might not be invited, right?
Well, this is the king, and he's sending out, he already sent out the invitations. And so he sent his slaves to check in and to confirm or to check the RSVP with those who had already been invited to the wedding banquet. But they would not come. They would not come when the king had called them to come to his wedding banquet. Now, in those days, that would have been like treason or sedition. They would not come. And so then he sent his other slaves saying, tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. Now, I don't think that the king is inviting them to come at this point. I think the king is giving an imperative and saying, get over here. The food is ready. You should be here. Why aren't you here? There will be consequences for those who aren't going to be here. It's the king. It could be people's off with their heads, so to speak. And this was a lot of food. Has anybody ever done like a hog roast, right? Think about how much a hog roast would feed. Now imagine fattened oxen and calves that have been slaughtered. This would feed the whole community. This was a feast of feasts. But it said they made light of it. And they went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. So this was outright sedition. This was rebellion. This was like a coup, mutiny against the gracious king that prepared the banquet of banquets for them. And they were too busy. Not only were they too busy, they didn't want to be bothered. They didn't give a hoot about what the king thought. And they committed acts of violence and hatred towards his servants to send the king a message that they weren't coming, we're not coming, we're never coming. Paints the story in a whole new light. And so verse 7, no wonder the king was enraged. He's the king. He did all this for them. They turned their backs on him in complete rebellion, just like we did in our sin. When we sin, we turn our backs against God. When we refuse to forgive our loved ones or our neighbors, we're turning our backs on God and we're rejecting the grace of God in Jesus Christ. When we sin and do not repent, we are denying the power of the Holy Spirit to bring change to our lives. And most tragically, when we sin and we are unrepentant, we're not only refusing the grace of God to change our lives, but we are denying other people in our lives who would have the opportunity to know and hear the gospel and to know Jesus Christ through us if we would only repent, if we would only appreciate that free gift of eternal life. So the king was enraged, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, the wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet. Everyone. Everyone who wasn't invited to the wedding. Everyone who the king might not even have heard of or known because they're living in squalor. Everyone. Invite everyone else. So Jesus was saying that God's chosen people, the Jews, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees in his day, they were too busy doing their own thing. And when the king of the universe sent his son to come and bring good news to the poor, they were ready to mistreat and kill his servants. And that's what would happen. When the church first started, they were persecuted and hunted down by the Jewish religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The people that God sent his son to save and to be the Messiah, their Messiah, they would deny him and have him crucified and accuse him of blasphemy because he said he had the authority to forgive sins, and only the Son of God forgive sins. This was life or death serious. And so it's audacious for this king to send his servants out into the main streets and invite everybody else. And that's why Jesus came, not just to save the Jews and those in the covenant with God, but those outside the covenant of God. He sent Jesus to be that new covenant, to go and be good news for the Gentiles. And as we see in the New Testament, you know, Peter has that vision where God lays out all the unclean food that he would never eat and says, take and eat. All this is no longer unclean. He was telling him to go to the ends of the earth, to the Gentiles, to the people who are outside the synagogues and couldn't come to the temple, to the unclean, the least, the last, the lost, the handicapped, the mistreated, the abandoned, the deplorables in their culture. And it's the same for us. We are called to go and invite everyone else who didn't get that first wedding invitation to that banquet. Those who are not worthy, people like you and I, sinners. We're to go, therefore, in the main streets and invite everyone we can find to the greatest banquet of all, the wedding banquet of the Lamb. And so the slaves went into the streets and gathered all whom they found. So they went out seeking. They found them, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. Now I want to ask you to just close your eyes for a minute and picture what it would look like in our community if this place was full, and if we as a community had a culture of inviting people to Jesus, whether we're at the supermarket or we're in line at Walmart, or at the gas station, or at work, or at school, that every conversation could be an opportunity to invite people into eternal life by the way that we treat them, and to build relationships with them so that we could share Christ with them and bear one another's burdens. Amen? That's the vision God's given me for this church since the first year I was here, is it's you all being the hands and feet of Jesus, and in every walk of your life, you are sharing Christ through your actions and through your words. That everything comes out of the overflow of God's love for you, so that He can pour out His love on Alpha and Woodhull and in this broken and hurting world. But let's go back to the story. When the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man who was not there wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?" And he was speechless. So this indicated that this man, he came at the last minute and he wasn't prepared for the feast. He wasn't prepared for the king's banquet that he knew about all in advance. He was speechless. And then the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him in the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." When the king comes back, when Jesus comes back, there's going to be judgment, and it's going to be too late for people to repent. It's going to be too late for you and I. While we might have done things in Jesus' name in our life, if we don't repent, deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow Jesus each and every day, we might be late. We might miss Him. But the good news is He sends us His Holy Spirit to lead us and to change us, because we can't change ourselves. We need God's Holy Spirit to bind us together and make us one in Christ. Amen? Amen. But here's the good news. He says, "Many are called, but few are chosen." It was God's choice to choose to save the world, to send Jesus to save us when we couldn't save ourselves. We would never be chosen by our merit, by what we can do. In fact, we are only eligible for salvation when we realize that we are sinners in need of a Savior, that we are wounded, walking dead, in need of the wounded healer with radiant scars. Only the healing love of God and the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit can raise us from the dead. But the good news is we can experience that here and now today in the present. When we follow Jesus and we live with joyful obedience and we listen to the Holy Spirit and we remember the truth that God loves us and we are His children and that nothing can separate us from Jesus Christ, we are continuing to be prepared by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is gradually making us pure and spotless bride as the church for Christ when He comes. And God will finish the job if we only let Him. Amen? Many are called, but few are chosen. I heard this week how there was a new survey that came out from the Pew Religion Research Institute. And they found through census data, through voting data, that now the largest group, religious group in the country, it's as large as the Catholics and the Christian evangelicals, is those who are the nuns, those who are not religious. See, many are called, but few are chosen. And what the data is showing is that the mainline denominations, which United Methodist Church is a part of, in that group, has declined. But at the same rate of the decline has been the increase of the nuns. So what the data is showing is many of these people who are not religious are people who have just left and walked away from the church. Now, you don't have to raise your hands, but we all know people who have walked away or strayed from the church, right? Many are called, but few are chosen. And friends, you are chosen to go out and to be those people who reach out to those who've turned their backs on the church, or to reach out to those who hadn't been invited in the first place, to the hurting, the broken, the wounded, the grieving, the least, the last, the lost, the addicted, the troublemakers, even those who are in prison, even our enemies. We are called to be inviting them constantly and showing them the love of Jesus, knowing that they can't pay us that love back. They can only receive it and share it with others. Many are called, but few are chosen. And I want to close with sharing this amazing testimony I heard this week. I was listening to the Carrie Newhoff Leadership Podcast, and there was a guest on there. His name was Kevin Queen. And I saw Kevin Queen speak last year at the New Room Conference in Nashville. And Kevin Queen is the second pastor in history of the largest church in Nashville. He might be barely 40. And he is now the pastor of Cross Point Church in Nashville, filling the biggest shoes you could have to fill, the founding mega church, church planter pastor. And he came in, and he's been there, and God brought him out of through a season of transition. His mission in life was originally to do great things for God. And then he was reading this book recently in the midst of that transition that said, many young men want to do great things for God, but they can get lost in their ambition. It's far better and wiser to do things, ordinary things, for a great God. And when he read that, he was wrecked, and he was crying and praying and praying to God to change his heart. And instead of him trying to do great things for God, everything he would do would be things for the greatest God. And his mission field would be at home with his family. And he would listen to his wife as if God was speaking to him through her. And he led them to Nashville. And God grew his heart for revival. And as we're speaking right now, they are experiencing what could be the beginning of a great revival. And I started weeping when I heard this. This is a real life picture today, here and now, of what that wedding invitation can look like in our culture today. There are 300 churches praying and fasting for 30 days for the entire city of Nashville. How many of you have been to Nashville? Nashville is a hopping and diverse place. It's not just the Bible Belt anymore. There's a lot of atheists. There's all kinds of different religions. There are a lot of people who are spiritual but non-religious. In fact, I bet there are more people who are spiritual but non-religious in Nashville than there have ever been. And they are praying and fasting. 300 churches, and every person that is covenanted to be part of that, they got some demographic data from a marketing firm. They have names and addresses for every single resident living in Nashville's city limits. And every person who agrees to pray and fast right now in these 30 days gets a packet with 12 names. And at the end of the 30 days, they're going to get those addresses and a packet of postcards. And they are going to handwrite postcards to each of those 12 people they have been praying and fasting for 30 days to let them know that they are being prayed and fasted for and that God loves them. Now, if that's not the beginning of revival, Lord, help us. But if they can do that in Nashville with that many people, imagine what we can do with as many of us in our village of 650 people. What would it look like for us to start praying through the phone book? What would it look like for us to pick out just the people on our block? And we're going to fast and pray for the salvation and the healing and the forgiveness and the hope and the provision of God, for miracles for the people just on our block. How could that change our community? For many are called, but few are chosen. And friends, today you are here and you are chosen by God to be His ambassadors and to go out and rescue the perishing and to snatch the dying. That we can come together and we can change this community because God can change us. Amen. Amen.